You're listening to the Whole Vineyard Podcast. To find out more about the Whole Vineyard Church, go to wholevineyard.co.uk.
Well, good evening, church. Good evening. Wonderful to have you here. My name is Josh. I'm part of the team, and I have the great privilege of introducing our speaker for this evening. He is an absolute hero. Him and his family are part of our church, part of our leadership year, and it's a real honor to have Anthony. Let's give him a round of applause.
Thank you.
We love you so much. And wasn't mercy amazing in worship tonight as well? Wonderful. Anthony, let me pray for you before share with us. Father God, we thank you so much for Anthony. God, we thank you for his heart, for his love for you, for the man he is. God, we honor him. And God, our hearts are open to what you want to say to us tonight through him. Holy Spirit, come right now. Fill him up. Anoint his words. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Josh. Good evening, everybody. Let me try to say it like Rachel. Good evening, everybody. I tried to practice that. I couldn't really get the hang of it. Thank you. It's a great honor, great privilege to be able to share the word of God with God's people. I want to thank God and thank the leadership of the church for this opportunity to stand before God's will. And thank you all for coming, pushing your way, pressing your way in here, not watching Premier League. We've got to be out here because AFCON is happening soon, you know, and I have some interest in that. So anyway, very good. We are continuing our study today. My name is Anthony, and I've been a member of this church. This is my home. I've been here for about 18 months now. I'm married to Mercy, who was part of the worship team today. We have our three grown-up children. And guess who's here? My mom is here. Woo! She's... Amen. She lives in New York, but she's visiting with us and decided to come here. She's praying heavily as she's sitting down there for me. Because if I misbehave, it's three generations, my generation, herself, and my younger one, my child. So amen, praise God. So we are continuing our study looking at the end time church. And last week, our pastor John looked at the letter to the church in Ephesus, where he gave us an injunction to remember our first love and then to repent. Today we're going to focus on the letter to the church in Smyrna. Amen. And we're going to be reading from Revelation chapter 2, verse 8 to verse 11. I'll be reading it out of the New Living Translation, but it doesn't matter. Just follow if you can from any scripture that you have. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Smyrna. This is the message from the one who is the first and the last, who was dead but is now alive. I know about your suffering and your poverty, but you are rich. I know the blasphemy of those opposing you. They say they are Jews, but they are not, because their synagogue belongs to Satan. Don't be afraid of what you are about to suffer. The devil will throw some of you into prison to test you. You will suffer for 10 days, but if you remain faithful, even when facing death, I will give you the crown of life. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. Whoever is victorious will not be harmed by the second death. Amen. You know, we can describe this letter as a letter to the church in a pagan and hostile world. History has it that Smyrna was a very beautiful city. It was a port city, much like what John and Josh were telling us today about Corinth. You know, it was a port city, very rich. They had direct links to various parts of Europe at the time and to the then known world. It was very wealthy. They had an abundant supply of myrrh, you know, myrrh, that frankincense, gold, and myrrh. And it was a very expensive oil that was used to make perfumes and was used in the embalmment of the dead. In fact, the name Smyrna actually comes from that word myrrh. And Smyrna is now Izmir, which is in Turkey today. So those people, they were very rich, had plenty and plenty of stuff at the time, that particular city. And there are many things we can speak about, you know, this letter, etc. But because for the time that we have here tonight, we're going to focus on three things that I believe that the Lord wants me to bring out from this letter. Recognition of their situation, retribution from Satan, and reward for service. So we're going to be looking at those things. So let's look at the recognition of their situation. Jesus starts the main body of that letter by saying, I know. He said, I know. Jesus knows our situations. He knows what we are going through. He knows what you are going through. He knows the pain that we feel. He knows the tears we cry at night and how we have often said, Lord, how long? How long am I going to endure this hardship? How long will it be before you promote me? How long will it be before I get my husband or my wife? How long will it be before I get my child? How long will it be before this happens? Jesus knows. He knew what the people in Smyrna were going through. He knew their sufferings, their tribulations. He knew their physical and material poverty, even though they were rich in Christ. He knew the blasphemy and the slander of those who described themselves as people of God, but they were not. He knew the difficulties they were going through, and he knows the difficulties that we are going through. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, the Bible says, this high priest of ours, he understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. Therefore, no matter where we are today in our walk with God, no matter where we are in our life, no matter what we face, we can be confident in this truth that the Lord knows and recognizes our situations. This should give us hope because our ever-loving Heavenly Father knows exactly what we are going through and what we are facing, and He will not allow us to pass through what we are unable to handle because He has given us enough grace. Amen? Except we choose to step out of His love, but we're not going to do that, are we? Retribution from Satan. Even though God recognizes where we are, It doesn't stop the retributions that Satan can bring. Jesus warns the church of the coming troubles, which the devil was about to bring upon them. And I don't want us to miss what Jesus said. It was the devil who was going to do the stuff. Yes, God allowed it, but God has never been and will not be the one who brings suffering upon us. But he allows us to go through that for certain reasons. He's not the author of our pain. Jesus warns that some of them will be in prison. Some will even face death, and they will be persecuted for a period of time. But he starts verse 10 by saying, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Isn't that just a great comfort? I work in a hospital, and sometimes, you know, the nurses, I sit down and hear them calling relatives at home, and they'll say, oh, this is senior nurse from Ward 7. I'm just calling about Joey. It's nothing to worry about. Don't panic, before they then tell them what they want to say. I mean, that, you know, you get a call at 11 p.m. at night from the hospital, and your relative is there, you know, you panic. You say, don't be afraid. That's always a comforting thing before you hear what they are going to say. And this is what Jesus said. Don't be afraid. The Christians in Smyrna were under tremendous pressures to conform to the practices of the day, just as we are today. Under tremendous pressure to worship the pagan gods, but also under tremendous pressure to worship the emperor of Rome. At that time, Smyrna was under the Roman Empire. And they were under tremendous pressure. So periodically they had the citizens of the land coming to offer incense to the emperor of Rome as an allegiance of worship, accepting him as almost like God over them. But because these Christians were refusing to do that, they were punished, they were imprisoned, they were excluded from trade, they were locked out, which is why they were so poor, even in the midst of so much, because they stood and refused to worship the emperor. They had a bishop at the time who was called Polycarp. People believe that Polycarp was actually mentored by John, who wrote the book of Revelation. Polycarp was the bishop, and one day he had a dream, and in this dream, his pillow was burning. It was catching fire. So he got up and he told the people he was working with, he said, I think that I'm going to be burnt. And sure enough, the proconsul in Smyrna sent officers to go arrest Polycarp. And when they came in, Polycarp did not run away at that time. He welcomed them in. He gave them food, asked them to give him some time to pray. He went and prayed, and he was taken before the proconsul. The proconsul negotiated with him and asked him, pleaded with him, just offer this incense to the emperor so that he will not be killed. He refused. And this is what he said. He said, 86 years I have served him, and he has done me no wrong. How then can I blaspheme my king and my savior? A little token that he would have done to offer that incense would have saved his physical life. It makes me to wonder, in what little, perhaps insignificant way, am I conforming to the world to save my life, my reputation, my job, my place on that team, my followers on social media? What little compromise, what little incense am I offering to the emperor to save that? But yet, I blaspheme against my God and blaspheme against the Lord who has done me no evil. There is a publication that the House of Commons published in 2022 in the Commons House of Commons Library. It was entitled Christian Persecution, Freedom of Religion or Belief. You know, Open Doors, they're an advocacy group, and they said, they published this, at least 360 million Christians in 2022 experienced high levels of persecution and discrimination. This was much higher than the previous year. And the number of Christians who were killed for their faith rose to 5,898 Christians in 2022. It was up by over 1,000 Christians who died the previous year for their faith. Many of them were from places like Egypt, Pakistan, Yemen, India, and sad to say, Nigeria as well. Nigeria was one of the countries where a lot of Christians died for their faith. The fact is that probably none of us here will be killed for our faith. Maybe none of us will be imprisoned for our faith in the Western democracy. But this does not mean that we will not suffer other forms of persecutions, of tribulation, of pressure to conform to the world. Slander, exclusion, marginalization because of your faith, victimization, denial of promotion, loss of a job because we hold on to our Christian principles. Several years ago, while I was still back home in Nigeria, I was picked by, this oil servicing company that was setting up a new place, plenty of money in all work. And one of the chiefs in that local area called me to that place where they were going to start that job. He put me forward to be the head of their medical place. That job would have paid me at least 5 times what I was earning, and I was earning pretty good at that time. I didn't get the job. You know why? Because some people told the people at the top, if you employ Dr. Mekako, he will not play ball. And these were their words, he will not play ball. Because in that place, they were used to kickbacks, and they were used to overinflating contracts, medical contracts and all those things. And they said, if you employ Mr. Dr. Mekako, he will not play ball. And that avenue of income for them will stop. I lost that job. It was a very lucrative job. But I'm not sad. You know why? Because maybe if I got that job, I wouldn't be here. I might not have known you. That would have been a greater loss to me not to have known you, people. So God is always good. Many of you may have suffered such discriminations or loss of favor, if you like, from the world because of your standing for the principles of your faith. If you have not, you might well do. How we will stand if we face dire circumstances like facing the threat of death for our faith, we may never know. But we can reflect and find out where we are now in our love for God. and for God's kingdom. And that may perhaps give us an idea of what we might do if we are faced with the threat of death. If I cannot stand the taunting of my friends and say before my friends that I am a child of God, will I be able to stand before the proconsul and say, I believe in Jesus? If I cannot give of my time, a little portion of my money, a little portion of my possession, and serve God and His kingdom, and serve the local church, will I be able to pay the ultimate sacrifice when it comes to my life? That's a question we can ask ourselves and reflect upon. But there is reward for standing. Amen. Jesus tells the church that if they endured to the end, even in the face of death, He would give them the crown of life. There is a reward for faithfulness and enduring to the end. And the reward goes beyond our lives here on earth. Our ultimate destination is heaven. And we must always have eternity at the back of our minds, in front of our minds, as we sojourn here on this earth. We are only here temporarily. There is reward here, but there is also great reward in heaven. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, the Bible says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great, great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So how can I apply this letter? How can we apply this letter to us today? If we were the ones who received this letter, if this letter was to the church on Vulcan Street, Hall Vineyard, and you received this letter, here are some thoughts that I received as I studied. The first thing to note is that I should be assured that God sees what I'm going through, and He understands the challenges that we face today. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, the Bible says, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid, for the Lord your God goes with you. Students, the Lord your God goes with you. Be courageous, do not be afraid. Verse 8 says, the Lord Himself goes before you. He will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Amen. Troubles and persecutions will come. They are just a part of the Christian life. It's not nice to think about. Jesus said this. He said, remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. I just feel like running away when you hear that. You know, you want to hear a good promise from Jesus, but that's a good promise. You know why? Because we have the assurance that God will deliver us from all our troubles. Psalm 34, verse 19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. How many? Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord delivers him from how many? Them all. He delivers him from them all. God will deliver you. Amen. While God may not stop us from being thrown into the lion, He may not stop you from entering into that fire. But He says, I will be with you in the lion's den. I will be with you when you get into that furnace. And that should be a comfort to us. Amen. We know that God loves us. So why does He allow the persecution of His children? And as I reflected on this, why should we be going through persecution? Some reasons came from God's perspective, how God sees persecution. Sometimes persecution comes to test our faith and our loyalty to the Lord. Amen. In this verse, in verse 10, Jesus said to the church in Smyrna, He said that the devil will throw some of you in jail to test you. To test your loyalty. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 to verse 7, it says, so be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It's been tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. Amen. Sometimes persecutions come and persecutions build us and make us to be mature and make us to be strong. In Romans chapter 5, we read that, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Character produces hope. Hope will make you not to be ashamed. What if the persecution did not happen in the early church in Jerusalem? When persecution arose because of Stephen in Acts chapter 11, verse 19, he says they scattered about and they traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. But as they went, they were preaching the word. They were preaching the word. So what if I was to look at persecution from God's perspective? Say, take testing, for example. If persecution was coming to me to test my faith, many of you are students here today. A good student, a hard-working student, is not afraid of test. You know why? Because the test will make him show what he's made of. A good student is not interested in coming out of the university with a diploma at pass level. A good student, some people are smiling and saying, I'll be satisfied with that. No, a good and hard-working student wants to come out with distinction if at all possible. When I was a student, there were some courses I didn't like and I was scared of them and, oh God, not again, you know. But there were some courses I really liked. I really liked anatomy. And anytime there was an anatomy test, I used to be excited. You know why? Because I knew it. I knew the bones. I knew the muscles. I knew those things very well. Maybe that's why I became a surgeon. I knew anatomy. And whenever there was an anatomy test, I would always go there excited, knowing that I was going to be amongst the best there. I never feared it. If that's the way God looks at persecution, we shouldn't be afraid of persecution. How many of you want to live a righteous life here? I want to live a righteous life. But the Bible also says that as many as will live godly, if you desire to live godly in Christ, you will suffer persecution. What if the fact that I'm not suffering persecution and I'm very much liked by the world, what if it's because I'm in fact like the world? Double, maybe triple. The world likes me because I am like the world. Jesus said that the world hates me in John chapter 7. He said, because I tell of their evil deed. If my life is a challenge to the world, if my life is a challenge to the devil and to his kingdom, be sure he will persecute me. So, if I looked at persecution for my faith as a good thing, with a rich reward, then I shouldn't be afraid of persecution. In fact, I should look forward to it. Not really. I should not, however, go seeking persecution, because that may be a very foolish thing to do. People have died because they posted certain things on WhatsApp group. I don't know if God asked them to post that in Nigeria. 2 years ago, a student was killed because she posted something on a WhatsApp group in a very intensely Muslim school, Muslim part of the world, where they had converted their WhatsApp group that they were supposed to be using to discuss academic things, and they now started using it to discuss Muslim things. And she now posted and said, you know, why should we be doing this? Jesus helped me to pass the exam. Her own classmates lynched her, put old car tires upon her, and set her on fire with the police watching. I don't know, that's dying for your faith, but I don't know if that was what God wanted for her at that moment. I just want us to be smart. You know Paul? Paul was told by Jesus Christ, I will show you what you will suffer for my sake. Agabus tied his rope and said, this bonds and afflictions will follow him. He knew that. But do you know that in Acts chapter, which is Acts chapter somewhere, I've lost my notes. Completely, I'm out of sync. Anyway, in somewhere in Acts, he said, They came against him, Acts chapter 9. In Damascus, the Jews and the governor were going to kill him. He was let down in a basket from a hole in the wall. This is somebody who knows that I'm going to be persecuted. But at that point in time, he didn't jump and say, I used to be Saul of Tarsus. I'm now Paul the Apostle. Do you know, I preached for 3 days and somebody died and I raised him from the dead. What can you do to me? He didn't say that. He escaped. In John chapter 7, verse 1, the brothers of Jesus Christ were trying to make him go to the Feast of Tabernacles. And he said, my time has not yet come. The Bible says that the Jews were seeking to kill him, so he did not go. He stayed in Galilee for that period of time. Sometimes your response in the face of some of those things may just be to walk away, maybe to pray silently, maybe to keep quiet and ask God what his will is. Remember, anyone with ears to hear must listen to what the Spirit is saying and must understand. That's the last verse of that scripture we read. We need a posture to be able to hear what God is asking us to do. When Jesus Christ drove away those merchants who were selling in the temple, drove them out, I don't believe that was the first day Jesus saw them selling. That was not the first time he saw them selling in that temple. They didn't just start doing it when he was 33 and a half years old. They were doing it before. And he had seen them. But the day God told him to do it, he drove them out. So let's be wise and listen to hear what the Spirit is saying. Amen. So as we come to land, what is our response when we face persecution? I can tell you 5 or 7 steps to victory over persecution and tell you to fast and pray, read your Bible, put on the whole armor of God, trust in the Lord, and do all the important things that we should do as children of God and as Christians. However, I'm just going to tell you what God told me. And God said, fall on my grace. Just fall on my grace. The grace of God brings salvation. The grace of God enables us to stand in the day of trouble. If you are here today, you are battle weary, you are scarred by the persecutions you have faced, that grace of God is sufficient for you. That grace of God is available. If you are new to Christian faith and you're wondering, Anthony is discouraging me, telling me that there is persecution ahead. The persecution in the world is worse, man. At least you have the grace of God with you and there is rich reward. Let's turn to our God. The grace of God will lead us home. There is that verse in this great hymn, The Amazing Grace by John Newton, a former slave trader. And that verse is, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. This grace has brought me safe thus far, and this grace will lead me home. Why don't we bow down our heads and just begin to talk to our Father?
Thank you for listening to the Hall Vineyard podcast. We would love to connect with you and welcome you home to church. To find out more, go to hallvineyard.co.uk/connect. And to stay up to date with all that is going on in the life of our church, go to hallvineyard.co.uk/church news and sign up for our weekly mailing. Thanks for listening. We hope to see you soon.